call Senate Hess to order about 1:35 on the 16th. Present, we have Senators Olson, Elton, Wilkins, and myself, Dyson. We have a single item of business today before us, SB 24. It is my hope and intention that we will pass this out. We had extensive hearings on it and discussion. It is the desire of both the chairs of Senate Hess that this bill end up there and will be a part of the mix that happens with whatever happens with TERS and PERS, and at least as I understand it, with some concerns raised at this table, the administration has responded to the concern about municipalities and school districts, or at least municipalities, having some constraints upon their activities, and I'd like to invite Mr. Tibbles to explain what we have before us as a potential amendment. And I will add that I think that there are some pros and cons on the amendment. I think it probably adequately addresses the concerns that were raised at the table. Mr. Tibbles.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Mike Tibbles, Deputy Commissioner, Department of Administration. We should have before you a draft amendment to Senate Bill 24. The amendment is based on the language in the original House Bill 242 as passed by the legislature and only applied to the TERS system at that time. It required the local school board to adopt a resolution and state that they have a recruitment problem prior to being authorized to bring anybody back from retirement. This amendment would adopt that same requirement for the PERS system, which would be local governments, local municipalities. The governing body under this provision would be required to adopt a policy by resolution and also identify where they have recruitment challenges, and then an additional step prior to bringing anybody back from retirement into a position would be required to certify that they had a competitive hiring process. This now, if adopted, this amendment would make the state, the school districts, and the local municipalities all consistent in that what we think is the original intent of the House Bill 242, and that's to use this as a tool only when there is a recruitment difficulty.
So we're a little bit out of order discussing it without having it, moved it. Senator Elton?
Mr. Chair, I'll move amendment. Is this amendment number one?
Yes, sir.
I'll move amendment number one.
And I'll object for the purpose of discussion. That's all right. So I think this is substantive. One reason to not do this today would be that we really haven't given the municipalities a chance to weigh in and comment on it. I suspect they will perhaps agree that it's a pretty fair system, but that it is us putting a mandate on them for what is their business. We could certainly argue, because we're all a part of the same pool and financial impacts, that we do have an interest on it. Anything else, Tibbles?
I think you've stated that very, very well.
Any questions from the committee? We can take a minute to read it if you like.
Mr. Chair, a question of Mike. Mike, I appreciate your having dropped the amendment off, and sorry, we kind of missed each other. In the TERS system, and I don't recall from 242, but in the TERS system, you mentioned that they now go through a process similar to this, but are the TERS employers required to notify the director of the division that action has been taken, or do they just have to adopt at their level, at the school district level?
They are required to notify retirement and benefits. Mm. And we do have those on file.
Senator Wilkin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So, Mike, this is this amendment has to do only with TERS, teachers?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Wilkin, this amendment has to do with PERS. This would be PERS. For local municipalities. The requirement is already in place for TERS. That was part of the original bill.
Okay. Then my next question then. Melanie, do you have any idea, and I guess we'll find out when this gets to finance, what the fiscal impact of this might be, the load upon the system?
Or the, through the chair, Senator Wilkin. I don't, the fiscal note would not change as a result of this amendment.
Thank you. Any other questions? Senator Elton?
Well, not a question, Mr. Chairman. I think your point was well taken about, you know, not having given other PERS employers a chance to respond. And I guess I think that is appropriate. I think it can happen the next stop. I guess my comment would be that I think this is a perfectly reasonable approach. And I was, I'm compelled to support this amendment simply because of some of the testimony that we have heard that I think demonstrated that sometimes decisions were being made by other PERS employers based on the convenience or the financial things that may accrue to a potential community level. And I think it's very important to ensure that we have a system that as much as possible provides for promotion from within or bringing new blood into any PERS employer. So I think this gets right to the heart of the issue that I know caused some heartburn.
I agree, it seemed to be well done and consistent and so on. We are joined by Senator Green. We'll go off the record for a minute. On the record, I'm going to withdraw my objection. If somebody else wants to object, they may. Is there any objection? Seeing none, the Amendment 1 is adopted. Now we have the bill SB 24, whatever version it is that we have before us. We are working off the G version.
Sponsor substitute.
I think it's G.
I think it's G. Do we adopt the G? Mike, which version is it?
Mr. Chairman, I have version F in front of me.
Okay.
I have G.
Let's see.
What do you have?
I got
G here.
G? Yeah. The original bill was version G. We have a sponsor substitute, which is F. A blank sponsor substitute.
Sponsor substitute G. Well, what I want to know is what was our last action and what version are we working off of?
We adopted the blank CS.
Which is?
F.
All right. All right. Then we have back before us the F version as amended. Is there further discussion?
No, I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman. I don't have an F version. I only have G in both.
We'll get it for you. Senator Wilkin?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The other day when Mike was at the table, I forget who asked the question, but someone asked the question about current obligations to, or future obligations to current participants, and they came under this 242 umbrella. And the response was, we probably want to talk about that in executive session. So, and I think I understand that, but I'm just wondering where that executive session should happen. State affairs or in finance, or perhaps this has to go to judiciary to work through that. But I think that, at least in my mind, the issue of what obligation does the state have to current participants is a very big part of this bill to me. And so I need to be clear about that. And so I don't know quite how to address that other than somewhere along this line, we should have an executive session so we understand the ramifications of obligations to current participants.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Wilkin, I understand that. Would be available to have that discussion at whatever point in the process.
Is that today?
No, that's not today. With a little bit advance notice, we could notify Department of Law and have attorneys here respond, but we didn't do that today. I certainly could suggest that we do that to the chairman of the Senate State Affairs.
Thank you. Certainly a concern I share. When do you think you'd be prepared to do that? How soon?
Mr. Chairman, I just informed that the drafting attorney that's working on this issue is out of town for a week. So I'd have to double-check the exact date, but it sounds like there may be about 7 days before we'd be able to come back.
Very well. Could I suggest then that appears this will pass out and move to the next committee, we could just attach a letter to Senator Terrio that we see a need for an executive session, and perhaps this committee and those finance members that may be interested could sit in on that executive session.
Yeah. Senator Wilkin, would you object if the members of this committee were also invited? Yeah. All right. All right. We will do that. All right. What's the role of the committee?
Mr. Chairman, I move to report committee substitute for Senate Bill 24 from the committee with individual recommendations as amended and attached fiscal notes. Version F.
F.
Thank you.
Is there objection? Seeing none, the bill passes. That's the end of our business. I have a couple of announcements for you all. We looked at an extensive bill, SB 125, administration bill about licensing and medical facilities. My office has given a page of questions and concerns to the administration. I would encourage all of you, either through Jason or directly, to communicate with Dr. Munstad about concerns and issues that you have. Give them a chance to get on top of those before we hear them. Secondly, next Monday and Wednesday, we will be taking on a significant bill. It is the governor's bill on marijuana, and I just encourage you to give that some thought. Hopefully, a packet will be delivered to you before the weekend, and that we will probably get extensive public testimony on that one. And
mostly from the valley.
This is not against economic development. Senator Elton.
Mr. Chair, I will be here for the Monday meeting. I have an excused absence for Wednesday.
I'm sure. But you're going to extend it to Monday, right?
Right. Also, the administration has asked us as a committee to sponsor a bill that significantly diminishes the constraints upon the Children's Trust and gives them, as I remember looking at it, we'll get you a copy of what they're interested in, but it I think takes the cap off that only an existing organization can only receive $50,000 over X number of years, and I think there's a progression in the existing law that talks about the recipients having to wean themselves off of this particular funding source and so on. And the Children's Trust, based on their experience, believes that children in the public process or public good is not well served with the restraints they have. We'll get you a copy of it, and I'd just like you all to think about it, and we'll bring it back to the table and see what the will of the committee is on that. And Senator Green, you had asked for some information about the personal care attendants to put as intent language in the budget, and I think we have that language to was given to us, and I think we have it to give to you. And that's all the business I have. Is there anything else? All right. Thank you all. We're adjourned.